Gospel of Luke. We looked a little bit this morning at John, but I want to look here in Luke, if you will, and look in chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. We'll go there, and it's one of those stories that is, as we like to say, it's in the Gospels on multiple times. It's in that area of Matthew and Mark and Luke, as they are called the synoptic Gospels. They tend to show us some of the same things, but maybe from different viewpoints. Well, that's the way that this story is. And I think it's a story that most of us are rather familiar with in chapter number 8. But if you remember now, Jesus has been preaching, and he takes his disciples. He says, "Let's get in a boat," and we go over to the other side. Goes over to the other side to the country of the Gadarenes, and you read that in verses 22 and 26. It really starts the story of the maniac of Gadara. And as they go, and you see what happens, the Lord goes, and really, it seems like he just winds up being there for just one man. For that man that is the maniac, and when Jesus leaves him, he is clothed in his right mind, sitting there at the feet of Jesus, and his life is changed. But everybody else gets so upset over what's done, they ask Jesus to leave. Now, that's weird, isn't it? But as they asked him to leave, says in verse 37, the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. Great fear. And he went up again to the ship and returned back again. Isn't that unusual? I mean, man, these people were so shook up and so much in fear that they asked the Lord to leave. And let me just tell you something. This works for us today too. You ask him to leave you alone, he'll do it. He will flat do it. Do you know, I believe there's a lot of folks in our country throughout the last several years, they said, "We don't want God." You know what he said? "I'll get out of the way. You handle it the best way you think you can." But I'm still glad there's some folks around that love the Lord and that don't mind praying and ask God. And you know, you hear that slogan quite often. You'll hear it from now until November from the politicians: "God bless America." I don't think they mean it. Don't think they know what they're talking about. But I'm telling you, it's a good idea for me and you to still pray that little phrase right there and ask God to bless America again. Amen? Because we sure do need it, don't we? But anyway, we get through all that. Look down at verse number 40, if you will. Verse number 40, Jesus leaves. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, he's coming back now to where he left from the other side of the Sea of Galilee, from the Gadarenes back to the Jewish side. It said, when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter, they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus, and he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Yet, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again. She arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this afternoon. Thank you again for loving us. And we praise you and we thank you for all the great marvels and miracles that we see in the Word of God. Thank you for what you do for us. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for being our God today. And I praise you and I praise your name for a chance to come and worship and love you and give you praise. And we thank you for that tonight in Jesus' name. Bless your word. Bless the preaching. Help us now as we stand. Give us the wisdom and the insight that we need. And again, we'll just worship you, praise you, and thank you. Save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you out of verse number 50 tonight. If you'll look at verse number 50, it said, but when Jesus heard it, after these men had come from the house where the young girl was, they came back and they told the synagogue ruler, said, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter's dead. Jesus, when he heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. I want to preach to you tonight on that little thought of fear not. Fear not. Somebody has said in the Bible that we are told some 360 plus times to fear not. They say that in the scripture. I haven't counted them. I'll just take somebody else's word for it. But can you believe that? 360 times in the scriptures, somebody says, fear not. Amen? You know what that means? For every day of the year, for every day of the year, the Lord says you can get up in the day. And he said, I'm going to tell you something today. Fear not. Amen? I'm telling you that fear is something that is just unbelievable in people's lives, isn't it? I mean, it is faithless, it is doubtful, it is unsure, and it just has all kinds of issues when you use the word fear, amen? When you use fear, and our Bible tells us that the love of God will cast out, perfect love casteth out fear. Aren't you glad that, man, we've got the perfect love of God that comes to us when we get saved by his amazing grace, and he can tell us, fear not. I mean, you can look at it time after time, and you see where Jesus had to tell his disciples, he told them to fear not. Amen? All kinds of occasions he told them to fear not. Here he tells this man to fear not. Amen? Fear not. He said, look, you just hang on. He said, you believe only, and she shall be made whole. Amen? So let's look at that tonight just for a few moments, if you will, and let's talk about fear not. Fear not. So first of all, I want you to look at this and say that in the things that Jesus says, and not just here, but in other places of Scripture, the idea is fear not, but believe in the promises of God. Amen? You remember there in John 14, I think Brother Sprayberry mentioned it this morning when he was getting ready to sing, and he said where that Jesus said, yeah, he tell them, let not your hearts be troubled. Buddy, that's the same thing as saying, fear not. Don't get upset over so many things. But you know that we do. Now, I mean, this is a major situation right here, right? We got a major situation. I mean, this fella's daughter is at the point of death. As a matter of fact, if you go back and read, I think it's Matthew's account, Matthew will say that she is dead already. I mean, that was how dire the situation was, that it was just a short matter of time. This little 12-year-old girl would be dead. And there's some matter of urgency that's going on. I mean, you can see the story as you begin to read it. It says, while Jesus is passing back over the Sea of Galilee, there's a group of people waiting for him as he gets there and gets off the boat. And at the forefront of that, there's a man that is a rather well-known and well-respected individual around the synagogue. It said he's one of the rulers of the synagogue. He is a man of somewhat importance and power and authority in among the Jewish people. He's there waiting. It said there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and he besought him that he would come to his house. I mean, that's a matter of... that's rather urgent, isn't it? You see, Jesus says, the Bible says that he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Isn't that amazing, man? Here's Jesus, and he's gotten back from being over in the land of the Gadarenes, and they asked him to leave. They got a crowd up, but the crowd said, why don't you get out of here? And he did. He obliged them. He left. But boy, aren't you glad he left them a witness? That man that was the maniac, before he left, he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, no, you need to stay here. You need to go tell them what great things that the God has done for you. So you know what he did? He got his preaching sandals on. He went out, and the Bible said he went to the cities of the Decapolis, the 10 cities, and he went out, and what did he tell them? What great things the Lord had done for him. Amen? But here Jesus leaves and goes back, and there's a crowd that's awaiting him when he gets there. And at part of this crowd, there's this one guy that has this dire dynamic need. And As he begins to explain what's going on, Jesus says, let's go to your house, okay? Let's go to your house. As they go on the way, the crowd follows. The crowd crowds around. They start pushing on. And you know the story. You've read it, and we've read it, and we've preached on it before. As they're going along, all of a sudden, something else happens to slow Jesus down. If it ain't bad enough that a crowd has gathered, and you notice the word there, it says they throng him. I mean, they're just pushing and shoving. And I don't care who you are, it makes it difficult to get around when you got a crowd of people around you. You ever been to any kind of event, I don't care what it is, at a ball game or a theater or, you know, at a schoolhouse with your kids or whatever, you get a crowd, it's hard to get out the door. It's hard to get through the masses. It's hard to get the flow going. Well, that's exactly what's going on here. And this fella all the while is thinking in his heart, we got to get to my house. My daughter is dying. Hurry. Y'all get out of the way. And this crowd is still pushing, and they're still. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stops, and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples look around and say, "I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a little crowd here. Everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody touched me because virtue has gone out of my body." Now I don't know about y'all, but if I'm Jairus, I'm like, "Man, that's good. That's great. Hallelujah! But let's go." Amen. I mean, that's the way you'd be if it was your daughter, your child, your loved one that's laying there dying, and you know Jesus can do something. Well, he stops the whole procession, takes a time out of what the urgent need seems to be, and this woman comes forward, and he begins to say, "Who touched me?" And nobody will fess up to it. Finally, this woman says, "It was me." And that takes some time to go through that whole little process of things that has happened. And the time is wasting. Well, when that little commotion gets over with, here comes somebody from the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus' house. He comes to him and he said, "There's no need to any further come on because your daughter has died." Boy, wouldn't that just stop you in your tracks? Wouldn't that break your heart? As a matter of fact, wouldn't that cause you to have some fear? Wouldn't that bring fear into your life? Wouldn't that just speak to your heart and it would trouble, it would bother you? And then all of a sudden, when all of those things had happened, all that's going on, and it says, and Jesus looks at this man and he answered him. When he heard that, he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Man, you know what you got to do? You got to decide if you're going to fear or if you're going to believe. I mean, you got to decide which one of those. And Jesus says, "Fear not, only believe." Wow, and Jairus has got to make up his mind. You know what he makes up his mind? He makes up his mind to believe Jesus. Amen? I mean, sometimes you just got to make up your mind to believe. I mean, when you realize and you say that I believe the promises of God. Boy, can you imagine? Here's a man by the name of Abraham in the Old Testament. You know what he's got to do? He's got to believe God for something that is physically, I mean absolutely, and as far as we can understand in our little mind, every bit of it sounds like it'll never work. God says, "I'm going to give you a son. You're going to have a baby." And God says, "I want you to know, I mean, you and Sarah are going to have a baby." If you remember the story, Abraham tries to work it out all other kind of ways. He tries to make his highest, best servant his son. God said, "That ain't what I'm talking about." Sarah gets all stirred up and she says, "I'm going to give you my handmaid Hagar and y'all have a baby and that'll be our son." And God said, "That ain't what I'm talking about. None of this is what I'm talking about. You know what I want you to do, Abraham? Don't fear, just believe." Amen? And boy, isn't that hard to do sometimes. I mean, we get in a hurry. We get all our minds made up. We get in such a situation in a way that we just, here's what it's going to be, God. You and I do not tell God what to do. We cannot direct him. We cannot dictate to him. We cannot instruct him. Brother, we just got to fear not and believe God. Amen. That's what Jesus has told Jairus to do. Don't fear now. Fear not. Believe only. Don't fear, just believe. And your daughter will be made whole. Boy, isn't that amazing? He heard those words coming from the lips of the Savior. You just believe. And he had to make his mind up what to do. And you see what they started doing? And verse 51, when he came into the house, they kept on walking. They'd had distractions, they'd had slowdown, they'd had trouble. But you know what he said? "I'm still believing God." Amen? I'm telling you, hey, who else did that? Well, I told you, there's Abraham. You think about Job. Job sat out there in the ash pile. He said, "I'm going to tell y'all something." He said, "All you men can tell me I'm a sinner, tell me I've done something wrong." He said, "But I know my heart. God knows my heart." He said, "And though the skin worms eat my flesh, I'm still going to see him with my own eyes one of these days. I'm his and he's mine. I'm just going to believe him." Amen? Woo, you know how that worked out for him, right? You know how those things went. But what I'm telling you is this, that you and I can trust the promises of God. Look over in Romans chapter number 4 with me, if you will. Romans chapter number 4. And I want you to get this, if you will. In Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 21, it's talking about Abraham and all of that going on with him, what it is. It says, verse number, chapter 4, verse number 18, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform." Amen. Can I tell you, the promises of God are sure. I mean, oh, Abraham, sure enough. God said, look, you're going to have a child. He says, God, I don't know if you checked the calendar or not, had another birthday. I'm 99. He said, good, I got you right where I want you. You're going to have a baby next year. He said, Sarah's 89. How's that going to work? He said, trust me, it'll work. And boy, she did, didn't she? She laughed about it. She thought it was funny. And God said to her, what's so funny? She said, oh, I wasn't really laughing. Amen. You know how we do. We try to cover it up. But aren't you glad, though, that when Isaac came on the scene, do you know what Isaac's name means? It means laughter. Amen. Woo, who's laughing now? Amen. When the baby got here, thank God for that. Well, you say, I'm saying you can believe in the promises of God. They're sure. And listen, over in 2 Peter chapter number 1, look over there if you will with me. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4, Peter is writing. Listen to what he says. He says, verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, listen, whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. What kind of promises you got? Exceeding great and precious promises. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you can believe the promises of God. That's what I'm saying. They're sure. They're exceedingly great and precious to those of us that believe. Amen? You can put your confidence in whatever God says. Take it to the bank. Amen? So first of all, just realize that. Fear not, but believe, because you can believe in the promises of God. But second of all, I want you to notice this. Fear not, because the outcome is never determined by our perceptions. The outcome is never determined by how we perceive things, how we see things. The outcome isn't there. Now, look at this. Go back to our story. It says, here's the deal. While he yet spake, verse 49, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying unto them, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. The perception was that she's dead. I mean, the story was, she's dead. I hate to tell you, Jairus, but she's gone. And Jesus says, fear not. You got to believe. Don't let your eyes trick you into believing what you see. You know, we do many times. We let our eyes deceive us into the things that we see. We think, boy, I'm looking at them, and it ain't looking good. A lot of times things do not look good, do they? They don't look right. They don't look. But you know what? Just believe the promises of God. I mean, as we might like to say, things are not always what they seem. I mean, I remember a story over in the book of Daniel about three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're thrown into the fiery furnace. From all appearance. Now the Bible said it was heated up 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated. That was what the king commanded, right? Nebuchadnezzar said, boys, fire up that furnace. I want it 7 times. I want it the hottest hot that it's ever been. The men opened the door to throw them in, and the flames consumed those men that threw them in. And old Nebuchadnezzar felt pretty good about it. He felt pretty good about it, didn't he? Well, guess we got rid of them. And you know what? Hey, if it had been me and you, we'd have said, boy, we're going to go in here. We're going to burn up. We're going to be gone. We're toast, right? But when they opened that portal or however how the king saw in there, turned around and looked at somebody and said, didn't we throw 3 in there? They said, yes, O king. He said, why do I see 4? Oh, something wrong here, y'all. Hey, the perception was they should have burned. They should have went up in flame. There was 3 of them. They ought to have been roasted and toasted and gone. But thank God there was a 4th man in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar said he looks like the Son of God. Because he was. Amen. Somebody wrote a song one time, and they said, you know, the song said about them going in there, and there was a fourth man in the fire, and it said those three men came out, and the little kid asked his grandma in the song, he said, "But Mom, what happened to the fourth man?" She said, "He's still in the fire, hallelujah. Anytime you get there, he'll be there with you." Do not let the perception of your eyes establish the outcome, because he's in the fire, honey. He's in there ready to do something for you. He's ready to be at your right hand. He's ready to be there and help you. He's there as your head and as your master, as your Lord. He's there. He's there. He was there when old Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. The king couldn't sleep all night, could he? He was worried, tossed, tumbled, waited for daybreak, got up, went down, had the covering removed from the cave where the lion's den was, and he said, "Daniel, are you still alive? Oh, what about that God that you serve, you've been praying to? What happened?" Oh, Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever." "Woo," he said, "I'm still here." Huh? Well, you're down there in that lion's den. It don't look good to be in the lion's den. I mean, I'm not volunteering, y'all, okay? Let me just tell you, I ain't volunteering to go in. I mean, we go to the zoo, and I'm backing up from the steel cage and all that stuff. Amen? Don't y'all laugh, you would too. Amen? I don't want no hippopotamus to eat me. I don't want no lion to scratch me. I don't want no tiger to come. I don't want it. Why? Because it's scary. Now listen, fear not. Hey, I'd be afraid, would you? No doubt Daniel got down in that lion's den. There's probably a little fear down in there. But you know what? He just began to pray. He said, "God sent down an angel last night. Me and him had supper. He went over and put a headlock on them lions, and ain't one of them bothered me." Woo, what about that, y'all? I don't know how that works, but I'm telling you, sometimes don't you let your perceptions outweigh your ability to believe in God. I mean, it looked bad, but God took it and straightened it all out, didn't he? He said, "Fear not, fear not." As I say, things are not always as they look. And you know, things can be changed by an unknown source sometimes. Things are not always what they appear, what they seem, but things can be changed from an outside source. Y'all remember the story about Jesus? He's got the 5,000. He tells his disciples, "Go tell them to sit down." They set them down in companies. And Andrew comes up and he said, "We got a little boy here. He's got them little bit of fishes, them little bit of loaves, five loaves of bread. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Sit them down." Philip comes up and said, "We ain't got enough money to feed them." Jesus said, "We're going to feed them. Just don't let your eyes fool you." Amen? But what did they say? What is this among so many? Jesus said, "Don't let your eyes mess you up. We're going to feed them with this right here." They're looking. They look down, they look up, they look down, they look up, and all of a sudden they said, "You just go distribute it. Take it to them." They distributed. Every man ate until he was full. Then Jesus said, "Hey, I'll take up the leftovers." Philip said, "What are you talking about? We only started out with two little fish and then a few loaves." He said, "Pick it up." They come back with 12 baskets of leftovers. They didn't even start out with that. How in the world could they do? I'm just telling you. Fear not, but only believe. Woo, ain't that good? Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, there's some things here about this that Jesus is telling this man, and all he can do is just tell him, "Hang on, because I'm telling you." He says in the next little bit, it says in verse 52, all wept. Everybody in there began to weep, and they bewailed her. But he, that's Jesus, said, "Weep not. She's not dead, but sleepeth." Amen? Ooh, listen, one more thing. Look at this. Fear not. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the sunshine. I'm telling you, don't you? Can I tell you, sometimes darkness will get you in a place of fear and doubt. And I'm not talking, well, physical darkness will do it too. Right? I mean, physical darkness. I get a little bit more heightened sense of fear in my life when I'm in the dark, don't you? Why? Because you don't know what's there. Amen? I mean, I have no idea what's there. It's fearful to be in the dark. I mean, why? Because I don't know what's out there. I don't know who's out there. I don't know what they got with who's out there, right? I mean, it's a little bit scary, right? Hey, man, I'm scared. Well, yeah, you ought to be. That's what the little kid said, wasn't it? What's wrong? I'm scared. Well, yeah, you're the same way. And we get that way spiritually, too. Physical dark. But then when we get into those times when things are dark in a spiritual sense. I mean, there's some darkness there. And you're like, oh, no, this is not good. I don't understand. I can't see. I'm not getting the picture. I'm not. But, boy, when you know that God in the broad daylight has told you, fear not, don't you worry. You see what happens here? Look what happens when all of this is going on. It said in verse 53, they laughed him to scorn. The people that are there, that are some of them are even hired mourners and that kind of thing. They did that in those days. But it said they all laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Well, guess what? It said in verse 54, he put them all out and took the maid by her hand. Amen. Can I tell you this? First of all, realize that, boy, when you get in the dark, as I say, the doubt comes in. Jesus said, I want all the doubters out of here. I want everybody out of here that ain't going to believe. Get out. The best thing you can do is separate yourself from a bunch of doubters. Amen? And somebody said there's about three kind of people in the church. There's doubters, pouters, and shouters. Stay away from two of them, amen? All right, I'll let you figure that out. But I'm just telling you, that's the kind of folks there are around you in this world and in your life. And here's the doubters. Oh, he can't do that. She's not going to live again. Oh, I don't believe that. Brother, will they not come into your life too? Oh, that can't happen. I don't believe that. You believe that Bible? Well, that's an old book. Somebody, a bunch of old men wrote it. That don't count for today. It is not, why, there's nothing to this fairy tales. It's old story. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, it's alive, it's living, and it's true today in 2024. Amen? And I believe it. And I'm telling you, get yourself away from those that would hurt you and cause you to doubt. I mean, again, only those of faith were allowed to enter in. You see who he brought in with him? Mom and daddy. He'd already told them, fear not, believe on. They were there. And if you'll notice, the inner circle, we call them, is with Jesus. He's got James and John and Peter. And that's the men that he wants there with him. And he desires those men to be there with him. And it may be as much to show them something as it is for the support that they'll give. But I want to tell you something. At that time, there's sometimes when they didn't. But at that time, they believed what Jesus said. They listened to what he said, they believed what he said, and they did what he said, and they were there with him when he reached out simply with his hand, and he got a hold of that little girl, and he said, maid, arise. And he picked her up, and she smiled at him, and he stood her there before, and he looked at mom and daddy, he said, go get that girl some cornbread and pinto beans, amen. Go get that girl some biscuits and gravy. Feed this girl someday. She's alive. Amen? And she was. And Jesus told him. He said, now, don't go telling this story. Are you kidding me? I mean, really. And I think it's in Matthew's in rendition of it. It said, and his fame, the fame thereof spread abroad. Wow. Who could keep that under wraps? Somebody come out there and they say, who is that little girl? Isn't that? Yeah, that's her. Well, she's dead. Well, she ain't dead. She got undead. She got over that being dead, and she's back here with us again. Woo! How'd that happen? There's this fellow by the name of Jesus. And you know what he said? Fear not, only believe. Amen? And I'm telling you tonight to fear not and only believe. Again, remember how long Abraham waited for Isaac. Fear not, only believe. You remember how that Joseph was locked up in prison and he had had a dream that God was going to do some great things in his life and that his brothers were going to bow down before him, and now he's in the middle of a prison. How many days do you believe that old Joseph was down there and he said, I just don't know. And God whispered, fear not, only believe. you're coming out of here. And you know what? God made a way for him to get out of the jail. God had a way to make him the second in command of all Egypt. God made a way for him to feed the world with the food that he was able to provide and process and keep in store. Hey, God did every bit of that. And when his brothers came, they all had to fall down before him. Wow, isn't that it? Boy, aren't you glad that God's able to do all those things? How's that? Fear not, only believe. I want you to look at something with me just in closing real quickly that I think is pretty interesting in this whole story. Now, you know, there's two miracles in this story. You got the miracle of Jairus and his little girl, and you got the miracle of the woman that has the issue of blood. That's just a little way of comparison. I ran across this and I thought, man, this is too good not to tell everybody. But look at this, and you'll notice in the comparison, Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. First of all, the comparisons are this. You got a man and you got a woman. What does that mean? It doesn't matter who you are, Jesus will still help you. Man, woman, male or female, doesn't matter about that. But I want you to notice this also, the differences. Jairus is rich. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He's rich. You know what it tells us about that other woman? It says that she was poor because she had spent everything that she had on trying to get better. Yet, nonetheless, she grew worse every day. You've got that contrast. Got a contrast between somebody by the name of Jairus that was respected. I mean, he was known as the ruler of the synagogue. He was a well thought of man. There's also that little woman there, and you know what? She wasn't respected. She was rejected by everybody that she went around because of the disease that she had. You've got Jairus, who is, as I said, the ruler of the synagogue. You know who that little woman with the issue of blood was? She was an anonymous nobody. You know her name? You know anything about her? None of us do. That's who she was. You want to see another one? As I said, there's Jairus. He was honored among men. But here's the other lady with the issue of blood. She was rejected of all men. They didn't want to be around her. As a matter of fact, according to the Jewish law, they couldn't be. Here was Jairus. He was a leader in the synagogue or the church of their day. And the other, the lady, she was not even allowed to set foot inside the door of a synagogue because of her physical condition. The issue of blood kept her away from being able to go to church services. Jairus, well, he was one that came to Jesus in a submissive, open way. He just brought himself. But you know what the little woman with the issue of blood did? She came secretly and hoped nobody would see her when she came to Jesus. But do you see here's the comparison between Jairus. Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter that he enjoyed for those 12 years. During those same 12 years, the woman with the issue of blood had nothing but despair and problems in her life. For the same 12-year period, that's what was going on. And then, I want you to notice this. All of Jairus' needs are met when he falls at Jesus' feet. Do you know what the little woman did? She came and she touched his garment and she fell at Jesus' feet. What are you saying? I'm saying all of your needs. It doesn't matter who you are, rich, poor, known, unknown, respected, rejected. It doesn't matter who you are. Hey, all of your needs can be met when you fall at Jesus' feet. One person, you look at his pedigree, man, he had it all. But yet he still needed Jesus. And you see this lady who seemed to have nothing, and she needed Jesus, and Jesus met the needs of them both. He didn't say, well, now, Jairus is an important guy. I've got to take care of him, and I, you know, we'll deal with you. No. He, as a matter of fact, stopped in taking care of Jairus' need and met the need of the one that's unknown, rejected, disrespected, everything else that she was. And Jesus met her needs. Amen. Do you see what Jesus said to her? He said, daughter, he said, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. He called her daughter. She's just as much in a respected place with Jesus as Jairus was. He was a man of renown and report and well-to-do, all of that. But man, Jesus made this little lady who's unknown and not noted by anybody, he made her just as welcome, just as saved, just as taken care of as anybody in that whole crowd. What are you saying? I'm saying, brother, just come on to Jesus. And when you do, fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing some song, if you would, tonight.